meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, our many moons ago man is back, Gordon Goldsborough. He's our columnist for Abandoned Manitoba. He's with the Manitoba Historical Society. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
So last week you told us that the story was going to be about some Winnipeg libraries and a place in rural Manitoba. What's this about?
Well, the common connection is the name Carnegie. People in Winnipeg may recognize that name for the name of the big library in William Avenue, the Carnegie Library.
Yes, and there's another one in the gates, right?
At the edge there are three Carnegie libraries in Manitoba, all endowed by the same guy, Andrew Carnegie. The one, of course, on William Avenue, the one up on the Cornish Library in Armstrong Point, and then the one up on St. John's on the North End.
Oh, I've seen two, but not three.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the link, though, with rural Manitoba?
Okay. Well, Andrew Carnegie, the philanthropist, is related to a fellow who lived in Ontario, Andrew Carnegie, a cousin. And Andrew Carnegie must have been a fairly wealthy fellow in his own right. He bought land extensively across Western Canada. And it turned out one of his pieces of land was purchased by the railway up northwest of Brandon. And I guess in recognition of that, they named the town Carnegie after him.
Okay. And what remains of Carnegie?
Well, in a word, nothing.
You mean nothing, nothing?
Well, not quite nothing. There is a small monument. If you weren't paying attention, you could whistle on right by and never notice it. It's a fairly small, inconspicuous kind of thing. And that's, I think, the interesting story. The town itself is gone. No vestige of it remains other than this small monument. And I think you'd be therefore hard-pressed to know anything had ever been there. And yet at one time, it was a fairly thriving community. And this, I think, is interesting because across southern Manitoba especially, there are all kinds of these little communities, ones that thrived for a few decades. And then, of course, as the railway disappeared, as the road network improved, they tended to sort of aggregate into larger communities. And so these small ones, like Carnegie, just withered away and disappeared.
So what went on in this town northwest of Brandon?
Well, the main thing, of course, was agriculture. That was what brought the railway in the first place. The railway brought this line through to provide a means for the farmers to ship their grain to market. They built this station at the point along the railway to enable the farmers to bring their grain there. Of course, the companies built elevators. Carnegie, in fact, boasted no fewer than two elevators, and that was a good sign that it was a fairly influential community, because the number of elevators was a sign of how much status the community had. The bigger the community, the more elevators. So the fact that this one had two, one belonging to the Ogilvy flour mills, and the other one by the Lake of the Woods? Western Canada flour mills. Meant it was a fairly large-sized community. There was a general store. There was a blacksmith shop. There was, the trappings of a community, houses as well.
How many people do you know?
At its height, I'm told it had a grand total of 30.
Okay. So not exactly a metropolis.
No. Of course, the city fathers probably had visions of it growing into the next Chicago, as many of them did. And maybe that was part of it. Naming it Carnegie may have been a bit of the appeal, thinking that perhaps William Carnegie, the namesake, would come out to visit, or even better, Andrew Carnegie would come out to visit and would shower his largesse over the community.
What led to its demise?
Well, it was a series of things. I suppose the Great Depression started it. It was, of course, a time of economic hardship. One of the grain elevators closed during the Depression. Then things kind of started to go downhill into the 1950s. The death knell of Carnegie, I think, started in 1952. The grain elevator, second grain elevator, the last one, burned down. They rebuilt it, but the new one burned down in 1962. So the grain elevators were gone. The post office closed in 1960. And once you lose those two things, you basically lose the reason for the town to exist.
And the rest of the houses, you say if there were 30 people, there must have been, 15 houses or maybe fewer than that. But what happened to them?
I would imagine some of them were moved away. Somebody might have just said, well, I could use this in the nearby town. It's not that far from Rapid City. So maybe they picked it up and moved it over there. Some of them may have just been in not great shape. If they're built, the town started in 1903. So you can imagine by the 1960s, some of them are now 50 years old. They're probably not in great shape. They may not have been maintained all that well. So probably just torn down, burned down, you know, who knows.
So if we want to find this monument and see and stand on the remains of what was Carnegie.
Well, you would be hard pressed to say you need the GPS coordinates, the latitude, longitude, because if otherwise, I mean, when I was out traveling, I didn't find it at first. I actually had to go by a couple of times until I found the monument. I knew the monument was there, and that's what really drew me there. But it's not something you notice. The railway itself is gone even. That went out in the 1980s, I think. Hmm. So literally, unless you know exactly where this monument is, you would be hard-pressed to know there had ever been a community here.
Now, your pronunciation of it is Carnegie. Is that the way it was pronounced out there?
You know,
because, I mean, some people called him Carnegie.
It may well be. I don't know. Of course, that name, of course, it should be familiar to people. If they don't know the library here in Winnipeg, of course, there's also Carnegie Hall, you know, where people, you know, perform. Right. There's also the Carnegie Mellon University, and they're all named for the same Andrew Carnegie.
Right. And there's the International Criminal Court at the Peace Palace in The Hague, mm-hmm. which was paid for by Andrew Carnegie.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he had a huge amount of money. He made an enormous wealth over his life, and he resolved that by the time he died, he wanted to die a poor man. So he showered his largesse all over the world, and we benefited at least three times here in Winnipeg.
And what was his relative's name, his first name?
William.
William. Okay. What are you going to be telling us about next week?
Well, I will say this, that I think listeners will want to raise a glass to next week's site.
Sounds tasty. Okay. Gordon, thank you.
You're welcome, Terry.
Gordon Goldsboro.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.